ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवत गीता एज इट इज ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 3। एवरीवन रेडी? You got your... Oh, there it is. Yeah. So you can please see it on the board. Sa eva yang maya tedya yoga proktaf puratanaha bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam hietaduttamam. Sa eva yang maya tedya yogaf proktaf puratanaha bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam hietaduttamam. That very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you because you are my devotee as well as my friend. Therefore, you can understand the transcendental mystery of this science. Purport. This is, of course, Krishna speaking to Arjuna. So when Krishna is talking about... When we hear, see the word me and my, that refers to Krishna. And when we see the you, that means Arjuna. You'd like to lift your... Is that Bhagavad Gita you have there? No, just a notebook, is it? Okay. Purport. There are two classes of men, namely the devotee and the demon. The Lord selected Arjuna as the recipient of this great science owing to his becoming the devotee of the Lord, but for the demon it is not possible to understand this great mysterious science. There are a number of editions of this great book of knowledge, and some of them have commentaries by the devotees, and some of them have commentaries by the demons. Commentation by the devotees is real, whereas that of the demons is useless. Arjuna accepts Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and any commentary on the Gita following in the footsteps of Arjuna is real devotional service to the cause of this great science. The demoniac, however, concoct something about Krishna and mislead the public and general readers from the path of Krishna's instructions. One should try to follow the disciplic succession from Arjuna and thus be benefited. Sa eva yang maya tedya yogaf proktaf puratanaha bhaktosime sakha cheti rahasyam hietaduttamam. That very science, that very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme is today told by me to you because you are my devotee as well as my friend. Therefore, you can understand the transcendental mystery of this science. In his purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada explains it in relation to the previous verse. And obviously it is in relationship to the previous verse because this verse begins the word saha. Now if you take this, which means that, more or less it means that. So if you just take this verse without knowing what the previous verse says, you won't know. Of course, Srila Prabhupada puts it in here. Krishna himself puts. But the previous verse is a very well-known verse. Evang parampara praptam imam raja shayo viduhu sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. And then to understand this verse, because it begins with the word evam, so it relates to the verse previous to that, which is imam viva, and imam, that begins with imam. Again, it means this. So again, it relates back to the, it's an ongoing conversation. So imam vivasvate yogam, what is it? Proktavana hamavyayam vivasvan manave praho manur ikshvakave bravit. Krishna says that I spoke this knowledge to the sun god, who spoke it to Manu, who spoke it to Ikshvaku. And then verse 2, thus the knowledge was passed down. One, I spoke to one, he spoke to another, he spoke to another. And then Krishna could have gone on saying many, many names, but just to make it short, and like that, Krishna says, it has come down by this system, parampara, from one to another. Through the line of kings, but by the Kale Neha Mahata. Kala in this world, very powerful. So it can mean by this Kale Neha Mahata can mean in a long time. Maha, you all know, it means big. So it can mean in a long time, or it can be by the very strong influence of time. So either way you take it. What happened? Yoga nashta parantapa. This yoga became nashta, became spoiled. She's not, that's a way of speaking, a figure of speech, because the yoga itself doesn't become spoiled, but the manifestation of it in this world becomes spoiled. Just like someone might represent Krishna consciousness, but that doesn't mean that Krishna consciousness is spoiled. It's his representation of it which is spoiled. So then we come to today's verse. And the point is made, it was spoken a long time ago. And I'm going to speak it again to you, Arjuna, Krishna says. So the point, it's a very old knowledge. Now, I chose to speak on this out of the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita, and I could have chosen from 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, and there are so many verses. I chose to speak on this because I believe to most of you, I am new. Is it not? I'm new. I am new. Something interesting. New. New is always interesting, is it? Maybe some of you have seen me before. I've been coming to Mangalore for about 25 years or something, but this is the first time that I came here. So you may be wondering, what are we going to get today? Something new. New means very interesting, is it? Something new. Is it going to be a joking show, or is it going to be a heavy philosophy, or is it going to be boring and we wish he never came? You may be wondering what kind of presentation. Well, already you're getting little idea. But I'm just going to tell you, nothing new. Nothing new here. Same old thing. Same old thing. Bhagavad Gita. Old thing. Nothing new. It may be new. If you go to Manipal, mostly, for most of the students, it will be new to them. Just like I was discussing this morning, or was it yesterday? Whatever. That a few years ago, one of my godbrothers, who's been serving in Bombay for many years, told me that he had met a young man there in his 20s in Bombay who had never heard of Krishna. Now you might think that's not possible in India. A young man, Hindu, even for a Muslim in India or a Christian or whatever, not to know of Krishna, you might think it's not possible. How can you not know Krishna? Just like I saw on the flight coming over here. When we landed, one woman opened up her cell phone and the wallpaper? Is it a picture of Krishna? The introductory picture. Picture of Krishna. It's just there. Ubiquitous in the culture. Ubiquitous means everywhere. But then I was just discussing, well, it is quite possible because many families, they may be nominally Hindu, but they don't do anything. They never go to temples, and they have no interest in these things. You're not going to get taught in school, for sure. And it is possible to grow up in India today. Maybe not in Mangalore. Some culture is there. Krishna culture is still there, floating down on the breeze from Udupi. And from the south also, Kerala, coming up from Guruvayur, and you have this Kathakali dances, and at least you see in the tourist posters. You might not guess it's anything to do with Krishna. But anyway, what I'm saying, Bhagavad Gita may not be new for you. When Srila Prabhupada went to the West, it was something very new. But a point that Srila Prabhupada emphasized again and again and again is that this is old. Now, in the modern world, there's the idea, if it's new, it's good. You always see on the soap packet, new, improved. Isn't it? They always say new, improved. New, new, new. Fashion means something new, right? Otherwise, there was no fashion in India. Every caste had to wear. What they wore was already dictated by the caste. You're not allowed to wear anything else. How many earrings you have on your ear, it's all dictated, everything. So the idea is something new. And the present fashion for young men is to have a hairstyle. There's nothing at the side and looks like a cake on top of their head. So that's, and after some time it's new. There's something new will come. Who knows what it will be. Something new. They'll always change it. But Srila Prabhupada always emphasized the point, it's old, which is, now, that's demonstrates a very different approach to life in the Vedic culture and in the modern culture. If we tell someone that something about science, they say, oh, that's not true. I say, well, I studied it at school. When did you study at school? 40 years ago. Oh, it's out of date. It's out of date. Just like I can say, as I've many times said. One of the few things that I remember from all those years at school. Anyone remember anything they taught at school? Not much. If you consider you spend thousands of hours in school, how much do you actually remember? A terrible waste of time. Which the parents think it's their duties to subject their children to. So one of the things I remember in biology class, we were taught by the teachers, it's in the school book, that the organic cells in our bodies and in all organic manifestations, plant life, animal life, it's a cell, it's a very simple organism, and soon scientists will be able to replicate it in the laboratory. Later on, I found that they don't teach it in school anymore now. They made more discoveries, they did more research, and they found out actually it's extremely complex, which is one of the main arguments for intelligent design theory, that even the very simple cell is extremely complex, and we can hardly even understand how it works, let alone replicate it. So if I wrote in my biology exam, the cell is a very simple organism, tick, okay, you got the marks. Nowadays, if I go back to school and write the same thing, cross, no marks. That means it was wrong. Actually, so I later on, I found out that later, that's changed. And then even later still, I found out that even when they were teaching it in the school, they already knew that it was wrong. But it takes them time to update their textbooks and re-teach all the teachers. So they knew they're teaching us something wrong. But anyway, What the hell does it matter? The teachers teach and they get their pay at the end of the month, and what do they care? What does anyone care? So Srila Prabhupada said, well, that's not knowledge. Knowledge means if it's true 40 years ago, then it should be true 40 years in the future. It should be true forever. Otherwise, not knowledge. What they call, they have the idea that knowledge, we're always improving it. But that means you don't know. It means you're in ignorance now. Just consider modern science. Okay, modern science. Scientists. We have any scientists here? Not likely. Scientists don't come to this. Have any scientists? No. They don't come to this kind of meeting. Scientists? They're not interested in this. So anyway, science. All right, science. Let's think something. Astrophysicists. Astrophysicists. Now, just putting aside the point for a little moment that they all disagree with each other, but in public they all show that they know what they're talking about. Okay. Or any field. Microbiology, whatever it may be. Okay. So, say we're studying in the university, microbiology. All right, and let's consider that we can do a thought experiment here, that if society goes on more or less the way it's going on for the next 2,000 years, civilization began 2,000 years ago, right? Jesus came. And before that, there were just barbarians. Like in India, there were just a bunch of barbarians, right? There was no knowledge and no one knew anything. Of course, they had all the Vedas with all knowledge of science and all that, but anyway, they're Indians, so they couldn't have had any knowledge. So civilization began 2,000 years ago. I'm being sarcastic, by the way. Don't throw me out for being anti-Indian. So say the world goes on more or less as it's been going on for another 2,000 years, and we don't blow each other to pieces or pollute the whole ecosystem out of existence. And it goes on for 2,000 years. And you go to Manipal University, which probably won't be there, but there'll be some university somewhere, and you study microbiology. Is it going to be the same as what they teach now? If you go in 20 years, is it going to be the same? Even in 100 years, if you look back at what's called science now, you think, oh, 100 years ago, that was very primitive. That was very primitive. That means it's already primitive now. That means that it's incomplete and imperfect now. So this knowledge that is fixed, complete and perfect, and it's actual knowledge because it never changes. If it changes, if you think something is true and then you change, that means you don't know. It's not knowledge. So that means practically everything that's taught in all the schools and colleges throughout the world is all not knowledge. It's just some ideas which are mostly all wrong. And it's not only in science, in practically everything. Just like in history, the way they teach it. When I was going to school in England, we had, we were taught, it was about the British Empire and how great Britain is and conquered the world, and we're still great, but people except us forgot it. But what a great country we are, and all this kind of thing. They didn't directly say that, but the idea is there, you see. We conquered India and Africa and beat the French. We didn't hear much about the wars the British lost, but we only heard about the ones they won. And of course, it was the British who beat the Germans in the Second World War. Are you from Russia? Yourself? No, where are you from?
Ukraine.
Okay. Well, it was the USSR that beat the Germans, right? That's what they teach on that side. And actually, they got to Berlin ahead of the Western troops. So, in Russia, they teach that the Russians defeated the Germans in the Second World War, and in England, they teach it was us. Little help from the Americans, but mostly it was us who did it. So like that. So it's, and but then they change it. Now they, or 100 years ago they taught homosexuality is very bad. Now they're teaching it's very good. So is it good or is it bad? It's changing. Did it change? What changed? It's just the perception of it. But actual knowledge doesn't change. Actual knowledge is as it is. Therefore we have Bhagavad Gita as it is. That means that Srila Prabhupada is presenting the knowledge as Krishna presents it. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about the commentaries by the demons, people who don't want to present the message as it is. And that's why Krishna spoke it to Arjuna, because Arjuna was ready to accept what Krishna said and not put his own interpretation. And that knowledge will remain the same. Because it's a fact. When we read Srila Prabhupada's books, we can understand if we are like Arjuna, who's ready to accept what Krishna says, then we can understand. This is a fact. And Srila Prabhupada often explained it in what we could call a scientific way. Because not everyone is ready to accept Bhagavad Gita, especially in the Western countries. So he would explain, what's the first lesson taught in the Bhagavad Gita? The difference between the soul and the body. So Srila Prabhupada would explain it. This body is made of matter, but the living force is different from the matter. The body is, if we analyze chemically, it's made of hydrogen, oxygen, carbon, nitrogen, and all kinds of chem. But I am not carbon or nitrogen or oxygen or a combination of all of these. I am something different. Simple thing to understand. There is the Supreme Controller. His name is Krishna. He is the Supreme Person. This is all established in Bhagavad Gita. It didn't change. It's not that Krishna spoke 5,000 years ago to Arjuna and in the meantime he retired. He said, I had enough of being God, so now I'm going to retire. Someone else can take over. He doesn't have to fight for his post. He doesn't have to hold election rallies going around, vote for me. He doesn't have to beg votes from anyone. He's always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a dictator. How about that? Dictator means you don't have any choice. You don't have any choice. Who's the boss? He's the boss. Well, but he's a good dictator. That's the good thing. He acts for our benefit. He's our best friend. Just like in the family, a father. Anyway, it's difficult to use these analogies nowadays because with feminism, everything's changing. But it used to be that a family met. Oh, I just got an email from someone telling me he's getting married on such and such a date from Europe. And coming from Europe, you're not sure whether he's going to marry a male or a female. It's so strange. It's like that. So anyway, traditionally in the family, you couldn't have imagined this when you were young, huh? The world has changed so much. So the father is, to the children, the father's like a dictator, right? You have to do what they say. You don't have any choice. You just have to do it. But luckily, he's your father and he wants what's for your benefit. So Krishna is the Supreme Father, as is stated in Bhagavad Gita. Pitaham asya jagato mata dhat. He's the father and the mother. So that's not going to change. Nothing new. The same thing. In the early days of ISKCON in the Western countries, devotees would give Bhagavad Gita classes and they'd say more or less the same thing in every class because they didn't really know very much. So they'd say, well, we're not the body, Krishna's God, this world is full of suffering, and they'd say more or less the same thing over and over again. Even nowadays we have so many books So many recordings of Prabhupada. In those days, there were hardly any recordings even. Devotees didn't know much. So they'd say the same thing. But it was perfect what they said. Because what they said was stated in parampara, coming through the medium of a pure devotee. So it's all true. So what's better, to have something new, entertaining, lots of jokes, but you don't actually get anything of any value, or to have a very simple presentation? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're all His eternal servants. We're not the body. Everything in this world is temporary. If we say that, everyone will say, yeah, we know, everything's temporary. Do we need to say it? Do we need to say it? Everyone knows. Mangaluru is in the state of Karnataka. Is it necessary to say it? You all know that, right? If I was in London, they wouldn't have heard of Mangaluru or of Karnataka, probably, most people. So that might be some new information. But why should we say to you, everything in this world is temporary? You know that, right? You already know that. So why do we need to say it? Why? Why, just like I do, should I come here and say to everyone, well, Mangaluru is in the state of Karnataka, the state capital is Bengaluru, and north of here is Udupi, and you go a little further north, there's, I can't remember the name of the place, anyway, Karwa, there are different kas, right? There's different kas on the way, but I can't remember the names now. Why should I say that? You already know. If I say everything in this world is temporary, well, we know, but we don't know. We act as if we don't know, isn't it? We act as if this life is all in all. We go from body to body to body. You all know that, right? Everyone knows it. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that if you don't know exactly how it works, then you're a big fool. You know that? Anyone know that verse? Anyone know that verse? I'm just trying to remember it myself. Vimuharanu Pashan. How does that verse begin? Shriram Yadavavnati. Now I forgot it. How it begins. I'm a big fool. There you go. Proved. Anyone look it up? Vimuharanu Pashyanti Pashyanti Jnana Chakshusha. One who has got knowledge understands properly. Yeah, 15th chapter. No. How does it begin? Stidbhasyam. Utkra, that's it, thank you very much. Utkra mantam sitang vapi bhunjanam yavan gunan vitam vimura nanu pashanti pashanti jnana chakshusha. That's it. So, because one is born in a Hindu family, one may have a general belief in reincarnation. But Krishna says, unless one knows how one is changing from one body to another, and how this is going on under the influence of the material modes of nature, then if we don't see that according to the eye of knowledge, then we're a big fool. So that would include most Hindus, because most Hindus just have a general idea that there's reincarnation, but they don't know how it works, and they're not very serious about it. We should be very serious, isn't it? You're gonna die and then get born again? It's a very serious thing. And not again, and again, and again, and again. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. It's a very serious thing, but most people, they don't see properly. Why don't they see? Vimurha nanu pashyanti. So pashyanti, you know what that means, right? Pashyanti means they see, and then na pashyanti. Na, they don't see. Then what is the anu doing there? Nanu pashyanti. Anu pashyanti. What does that mean? Anu. What does that mean? In this, of course, you could interpret it in various ways, but actually it doesn't mean. What does it mean? It means following. In other words, we have to take it, this whole system of parampara that Krishna's, we have to see through the eye of knowledge which we receive from hearing, from parampara, from those who know. Pashyanti jnana chakshusha. So jnana here means actual knowledge, those who know. Jnaninas tattva darshinaha. Those who have knowledge, they can see things really as they are. So this knowledge has to be received by hearing. There's a statement in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shruti kshita pata. Shruti, hearing. Shruti of course means the Vedas, but shruti mean, in this context means hearing. Ikshita, ikshita. This means also seeing. Shudikshita pata, the path of seeing by hearing. So we can properly understand by hearing, by learning. Someone who is learned and knows the subject very well, they can see things which other people can't see. They see the same thing, but the learned person sees things that other people don't see. Just like, I'll give an example. Or they perceive things which other people can't perceive. That Srila Prabhupada, he related an anecdote from his life, his business life, when he was a grihastha traveling in India doing business. So he said that he was with a friend who was a doctor, because Srila Prabhupada was in the pharmaceuticals business. And just there was one old man and he coughed, which is a very ordinary thing. So Prabhupada heard him coughing and the doctor heard him coughing. And the doctor said, by the way he's coughing, I can understand he'll be dead in 1 hour. So both heard him coughing, but one with the knowledge, he could understand more from that coughing. Just at the airport, it came down, saw the oil refinery. So we say, we have a general idea, okay, that's an oil refinery. But someone who's an expert petroleum engineer, he can look at the refinery just by seeing, he can understand so many details about it, what kind of refinery and how many this and that. So the same thing a layman sees and an expert sees, just like a doctor. The doctor sees, I just gave one doctor example. So you were just pushing some parts of my body. Someone else could do that, but you, by pushing, you could understand what's the problem, what's not the problem. There's no problem, he told me. There's no problem except there's pain, but there's no medical problem. Idiopathic. Whatever it is. Maybe it's what is they called? Psycho, not psychopathic. Psychosymptomatic, something like that. So, to properly understand a subject matter, we have to learn it from people who know. And that's the whole point that Krishna is making in this part of Bhagavad Gita. If we want to know, and we should want to know, why we are suffering in this world, and how to get free from it, and what is the proper use of human life, who is God, what is our relationship with Him. To know that, we have to learn from those who know. And those who know, they will speak the same thing as Krishna spoke, because Krishna spoke knowledge. And it's not that Krishna spoke one thing and then he came back after some time and said to Arjuna, hey Arjuna, I got a new idea. Maybe we should all become Christians. He didn't say that. There's no reincarnation and you just bathe in the blood of Jesus and then whatever that means, it doesn't sound very nice, but bathe in the blood of Jesus and then everything will be all right. And otherwise you go to hell forever. He didn't say that. Same thing. And in disciplic succession, what is our duty? Just to speak the same thing. And we say again and again. Everything in this world is temporary. You've all heard it before. We all need to hear it again and again. We don't need to hear again and again that Mangaluru is a town, city in the state of Karnataka. We don't need to hear that again and again. But we do need to hear again and again that everything in this world is temporary. Because by the power of Maya, we tend to take things as permanent. The most important thing I have to do in my life is to pass my exam, get a good job, get my children married, and if I get some time, I'll maybe chant Hare Krishna also. No, it's around the other way. They say, sannyasis, they can talk like that. But the reality is different. Well, no, what is reality? By hearing Bhagavad Gita, we understand actually what is reality. Your sons and your daughters, that's not reality. It is a temporary reality, but it's not really real. Inasmuch as you have your sons and your daughters, how long will they be your sons and your daughters? You will die, they will die, they will go somewhere else, you will go somewhere else. We have no permanent relationship of son and daughter. But we have a permanent relationship with Krishna. So that's actually important. This vision, it's a painful vision for most people. It hurts because we establish relationships in this world, relationships of love. Yeah, I care for my sons and my daughters and my wife. And naturally, I care. But we should understand that Krishna is the central point of love. We don't say, don't love your sons and your daughters, but know that Krishna is the central point of love. Does that sound a bit depressing that you will die, you'll go somewhere else, your sons and daughters will die, they'll go somewhere else, and then you won't have any relationships? Does it sound depressing when you invested so much love and energy and gave so much sacrifice? Does it sound depressing? Well, one thing is it's true, but if we make Krishna the center of our love, then we establish an eternal relationship with our sons and our daughters and everyone else also. So if we become Krishna conscious and our children become Krishna conscious, then we all go together to Krishna. So that's better, isn't it? If you really want to love your wife and everything, or your husband, then be Krishna conscious and you can go together to Krishna. Otherwise you go somewhere, he goes somewhere, and you never see each other again. And maybe some people might think, well, that's good. But if you're thinking like that, then again we have to suffer another. That's the other side. Either we are bound by false temporary love, or we're bound by hate. If we love someone, then we have to come back to this world. If we hate someone, we have to come back to this world. Ichha, dvesha. These are the two things which cause rebirth. Desire or love and hatred. But if we make Krishna the center, then everything comes to the platform of eternality. And there's no question of hating anybody. So nothing new. Everything in this world is temporary. Heard it before? I hope so. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Have you heard it before? I hope so. You're teaching them that, I presume. This is, after all, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to surrender to Krishna. Nothing new. Same thing, same old message. But it's not boring. We want something new in this world. Why do we always want something new? Because everything becomes boring after some time. You want a change. You're not fed up with doing the same old things. Especially in Rajoguna, you always want something more new, 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 new. In Sattvaguna, people are content to do the same thing day after day. In Sattvaguna, people, they have a regular routine. They rise early, they do sadhana. That's in Sattvaguna. But in Rajoguna, we always want something new. So same old message. But Krishna is Nitya Nutana. If we find in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, one of the qualities given of Krishna is Nitya Nutana, always new. Krishna is always, he's Adyang Purana Purusham Navayovanamcha. He's the oldest person and he's always new. Does anything exciting ever happen in Mangalore? Anything exciting? Any big personalities come? Now the election season, any big shots flying in by helicopter? No? No Rahul? No Amit Shah? Modi came here? He's coming. Exciting, huh? Something exciting, exciting. You're waiting for him to come and huge crowd and oh, something exciting, exciting. But if he came every day, then it wouldn't be exciting, would it? If he came on the 13th and again on the 14th, the crowd would be a bit less, and then again on the 15th, the crowd would be less, and he came on the 16th, and there wouldn't be many people there. But Krishna, every day he goes out to take the cows out, right? And he comes back from the forest. And all the residents of Vrindavan, the cowherd boys go with him, and then Mother Yashoda, all the elderly go, they're all waiting. Ah, Krishna's coming. Ah, Krishna, when's he coming? I'm dying. Ah, he didn't come yet. Then they see in the distance the dust from the calves, and they hear the sound of the boys playing their bugle. Ah, ah, Krishna's coming. Then they say, ah. Every day it's like that, and every day it's more exciting. Krishna never gets old. He's the oldest and he's always fresh. And it's always the most amazing experience in your life. Maybe someone will go and see Narendra Modi, and then 50 years later they'll say, oh, I remember I saw Narendra Modi 50 years ago. Oh, what a great occasion that was. Oh, how wonderful. Or your wedding day. Did anyone forget their wedding day? Anyone? Everyone who's married, you can remember your wedding day, isn't it? Is it? You remember your wedding day? Yeah, all right. I don't know, I didn't have one this time around, so I can't say. But presumably, you remember your wedding day. It was a big event in your life, right? Remember when your first child was born? Big event, huh? Something big happened in your... But for the residents of Vrindavan, you don't remember every day when your children came home from school, right? You don't remember. They come home and... Well, you're probably not at home. The mother will be at home, right? The man's out at work. So the wife's... But it's not that she's... Oh, when are my children coming? When are they coming? Ah! They said, okay, come and take your shoes off, like this. So it's not a very big thing, but for the Vrajavasis, every time Krishna's come, it's the most amazing thing that ever happened in their whole life, and it happens every day. Krishna is Nitya Nutana. So we have the very old knowledge, but it's always fresh. That sounds good, right? You like to go there to a place where everyone, they have such immense pleasure every day. Seeing Krishna. Krishna's been away, left in the morning. They keep busy all day making butter or doing something because it's just too much. Krishna's away. And then Krishna, How one. So like that. It's old and it's new. The point is, we don't have to invent anything or change anything or try to bring something. Krishna's the best. Always the best. Always was the best. Always will be the best. There's no comparison. All respects to Narendra Modi, but he's not on the level of Krishna and never will be. Krishna's always the best. It's not going to change. And we'll always be fully happy in Krishna consciousness. So we should take Bhagavad Gita as it is. I was recently in Sri Rangam, maybe you know, the holy place of the Sri Vaishnavas. Here you know Udupi. There they hardly heard of Udupi. And here they know Udupi and they hardly go there at all. Anyway, I was in Sri Rangam. We had some meeting and some esteemed pundits of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya came in our meeting. Public, not public meeting, but there were devotees, there were a few hundred devotees. So one of them, he made the point how they so much appreciate ISKCON and especially they so much appreciate Srila Prabhupada because he gave Bhagavad Gita as it is. They made that point. They're speaking in Tamil, but they said in English, as it is. They very much appreciated that. So then I asked the question on the stage in front of all the devotees that their sampradaya is going on almost 1,000 years. Ramanuja's appearance was just over 1,000 years ago. What is the secret? Here we are, ISKCON 50 years, and there's so many things going on, and are we going to be able to keep going on nicely? 1,000 years in this Kali Yuga, which is the age of quarrel, and they're still going on solidly. That's very impressive. So I asked, what's the secret? And they said, we just have to follow the same path given by the acharyas. Stick to the Shastra and the acharyas. The same thing that Prabhupada said. It's the same point. How the real knowledge will continue to be alive and real in human society. Because if we change anything, then yoga nashta parantapa. You just have to keep on saying the same thing. We don't have to think how to say something new. Say the same thing. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are all His eternal servants. We have to surrender to Him. Everything in this world is temporary. This world is full of suffering. You have to say the same thing. That's all. It's always fresh. Hare Krishna. Any question, please? Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.